Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, of the destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you.
Shalom, and welcome to His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on living and praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. If this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. If you are blessed by what you hear, please consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. This week, we're going to start out with a short teaching followed by prayer. Last week, we looked at Yom Teruah and found that Teruah does not necessarily mean blowing the shofar, but instead can be any joyful noise or sounding alarm. The Moed, or appointed time, where we are actually commanded to blow the shofar of Teruah is Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement, as we saw in Leviticus 25:9. I also mentioned last week that perhaps the seven trumps of Revelation are seven Yom Kippurs. I want to take a closer look at that possibility this week as we head toward Yom Kippur. In Revelation 8:2, seven messengers, or angels, are given seven trumpets, and just before the first trump is sounded, verses 3 through 5 tell us another messenger stood before the altar holding a golden censer to offer it with the prayers of the saints, or set-apart ones, upon the golden altar before the throne. The tabernacle in the wilderness was patterned after what Moses was shown in heaven, and the golden altar before the throne in the tabernacle was the altar of incense. The smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up, and then the messenger in Revelation took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth, causing noises, thunders, lightnings, and an earthquake. If we look at Leviticus 16:12-13, we can see Revelation 8:3-5 is the first act of Yom Kippur service in the tabernacle. Leviticus 16:12-13 says, "He, the high priest, shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before Yahweh, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire on the altar of incense before Yahweh, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not." After this first part of the Yom Kippur service in Revelation 8:3-5, the first angel sounds the first trump, possibly marking the first of seven Yom Kippur trumps. After this first Yom Kippur trump, Revelation 8:7 says, "There came to be hail and fire mixed with blood thrown down to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up with all the green grass." Of course, most everyone agrees that the trumps of Revelation take place during the Great Tribulation, referring to the time of Great Tribulation after the abomination of desolations is seen in the holy place. We are told in Mark 13:19, "For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be." Leviticus 23:27, speaking of Yom Kippur, tells us, on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. Are we commanded to afflict our souls on Yom Kippur because Yom Kippur is a picture of, or warning regarding, the affliction that takes place during the time of great tribulation spoken of in Mark 13:19? Note also the command of an offering made by fire on Yom Kippur in Leviticus 23:37. After the first trump of Revelation 8, hail and fire mixed with blood were thrown to the earth. Is this the Yom Kippur offering made by fire and the blood of the offering that is sprinkled on the altar of the earth? It is interesting that after this first Yom Kippur trump, Revelation 8:7 tells us there came to be hail and fire mixed with blood thrown down on the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up with all of the green grass. You can go to the NASA website at worldview.earthdata.nasa.gov and see a world map of all of the current fires on the earth. Interestingly, I would estimate that at least one-fourth of the earth map is red, possibly close to one-third. Of course, I don't think all of the grass is burned up, but I doubt each of the trumps of Revelation just turn off the previous trump's events and say, okay, you're done. No, the previous trump, I would guess, is not completely finished, but continues on into the next trump, each trump compounding upon the trump before it. But that's just a guess. Anyway, there is a slider to move the map along a date line to go back in time and see what was on fire the year before and the year before, etc. So I thought I would go back in time on the timeline just to see what the earth looked like before Yom Kippur of 2017 to compare it to the map of this year just before this Yom Kippur. I have to admit that the 2017 map looked just about as bad, and so did the 2016 map, if not maybe even a little bit worse. I wonder, with all of the red on those 2 years, how we still have enough fuel left to burn as much as they show burning in 2018. I do find it interesting that the furthest I could go back on this map was about November 25th, 2015, which of course was just after the last Blood Moon Tetrad. Then, the end of 2015 was definitely not as bad as the 3 years following it in 2016, 2017, and 2018. Of course, there's no way for me to know if the fires were worse before 2015 or not, but I would certainly think that by now, it is possible that we're getting close to the one-third of the trees being burned up just looking at these last 3 or 4 maps, though I don't think we are quite there yet. But we continue to see new fires in the news practically every week. I have posted, or will post, links to each of the 2018, 2017, and 2015 maps on our website below the downloadable link of this program. Please visit www.hiswordheals.com if you'd like to take a look at those. It's just kind of interesting. Since we just saw in Revelation 8 that the first trump kicked off the Yom Kippur service in heaven, it stands to reason that the second trump could be a continuation of the Yom Kippur service the following year. While it is possible that all of the trumps of Revelation take place in 1 year, I highly doubt that is the case for the simple reason that the two witnesses will witness for 3.5 years during the Great Tribulation during the 7 trumps. So then it would stand to reason that each trump represents 1 Yom Kippur, or 1 year, and continues to build upon the year before. Next, the second trump sounds in Revelation 8, 8 and 9. We are told at the second trump a great mountain burning with fire is thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea becomes blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea die, and a third of the ships are destroyed. While we are hearing of huge fish die-offs every day, I don't think this trump has sounded yet. We are still waiting for a great mountain burning with fire to be thrown into the sea. Let's keep an eye on Hawaii sometime after this upcoming Yom Teruah, as it certainly appears to be a good candidate at this time anyway, and for a third of the ships to be destroyed. Then the third trump sounds, and a great star, Wormwood, burning like a torch, falls from heaven onto a third of the rivers and fountains of water, and many died from the bitter waters. This is the judgment of the unfaithful wife
whose thigh rots and belly swells if she is guilty of adultery when she is made to drink bitter water in Numbers 5:14-24. Then the fourth trump sounds, and a third of the sun, moon, and stars are struck and become darkened. A third of the day does not shine, nor a third of the night. This is like the judgment of darkness over Egypt for 3 days in Exodus 10:22. Remember, though, that during this darkness over all of Egypt, all of the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. The fifth trump sounds, and a warning of the first of three woes to come is issued. During the first woe, a star falls from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit. The star with the key opens the pit, and smoke comes out covering the sun, and out of the smoke come locusts with the authority of scorpions. They cannot harm the earth, grass, or anything green, but can only torture for 5 months those men which do not have the seal of Elohim on their foreheads. It is quite interesting to note that if this theory is correct and each trump of Revelation is sounded on Yom Kippur, there are about 5 months between Yom Kippur in the seventh month and Nisan, or the first month, which is the month of Passover. Then, when the sixth trump sounds a year later, John hears a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before Yahweh. In a Yom Kippur service, what is put on the four horns of the altar of incense? Leviticus 16:18, "And he shall go out unto the altar that is before Yahweh, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock, and of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar round about." Leviticus 16:19-20, "And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat." Remember, the Yom Kippur service is the one time per year that the high priest, and only the high priest, can go into the Holy of Holies, the innermost sanctuary, which is where the Lamb slain is seen earlier in Revelation. So then let's consider Hebrews 9:1-7. "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service, and a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, or holy of holies, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had the manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of Elohim. Into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people." Then continuing in Hebrews 9:11-12 and 24-28, we read, "Messiah being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For Messiah is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Elohim for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Messiah was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." This passage in Hebrews chapter 9 is clearly showing us a Yom Kippur service in heaven where Yeshua is high priest who enters into the holy place to put his own blood as the sacrifice for atonement on the horns of the altar that is before Yahweh. Back to Revelation 9:13, which tells us, "The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before Elohim." Whose voice would be coming from the four horns of the golden altar before Yahweh in heaven? That would be Yeshua's, the high priest, who applied his own blood to the four horns of the altar in heaven. Would this not be his blood from the four horns of the altar speaking? Again, what takes place at the sixth trump of Revelation is confirming that these trumps are Yom Kippur services taking place in heaven but manifesting in events on earth during the time of Great Tribulation. The voice coming from the four horns of the altar says to the messenger or angel with the sixth trump, "Release the four messengers bound at the river Euphrates to kill a third of mankind with the horses of a 200-million-man army, out of whose mouths came fire and smoke and sulfur, by which plagues they killed the third of mankind." And then we are told the rest of mankind not killed by these plagues still did not repent. Then the seventh trump sounds, and the messengers with the seven bowl judgments pour out their judgments on the earth, after which the martyrs are resurrected and Ha-Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Next week, we'll take a look at where the two witnesses fit into all of this in relation to the three woes, or last three trumps. We may even take a peek, if time permits, at what the better resurrection that Paul talks about might be. But right now, let's take a few moments to prepare our hearts to speak with our Abba in heaven, our Creator, in the name of His Son and our King and Savior, Yeshua, our Messiah. Baruch Abba B'Shem Yahweh, blessed is He who comes in the name of Yahweh. Thank you, Abba, that through Yeshua you heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Thank you that you don't leave the fatherless without a father, the sick to be sick, nor the widows widowed. Abba, we know that there are many of your people all over the world that are going through trials and hardships right now, Abba, and you alone know their individual stories and the reasons for their hardships and trials. We pray for them right now, Father. The children that have been abandoned or abused, the poor that are without homes, the families that are separated or broken. We know that all of these hardships are caused by or are deserved result of the sins of mankind and are falling away from your righteous laws and right rulings. But we also know of your great mercy and love for us all, that you have provided a way back to you through your Son, Yeshua. We ask that your merciful Spirit, called the Comforter by Yeshua, would be poured out on your people, that we would turn and glorify you, that Yeshua's words would be burned into our hearts and our minds, and that your healing and provision would be poured out upon us all. We pray for the faith of your people in all of the areas where judgment is taking place and disasters are occurring, that they would be strengthened as never before, for them to feel and know your powerful presence and to walk the path that you have set before them without fear or sorrow, knowing that all things work together for good to those that are called to your purposes, knowing that you have great things planned for them and that this is a new beginning. Provide those that lost homes with new homes or the ability to repair their homes, or if you would have them relocate someplace else, lead them in the way that they should go. Shepherd your people, Abba. Bless those that are selflessly helping neighbors and strangers as they are fulfilling Torah, whether they realize it or not. Send your messengers to deliver your message and your provisions in their time of need. We also pray for those that are the enemies of righteousness and right ruling, those that are taking advantage of the misfortunes of others throughout the earth, Father, those that are pillaging and stealing during disasters or any other time. We pray, Abba, that their eyes would be open to what they are doing, and also open their eyes to who you are, that they would repent and turn and instead help those in need. We know, Abba, many of them are likely victims themselves. victims of our godless society that has taught them that they are nothing more than animals and that the rule of the jungle is either eat or be eaten. We pray for an end to that lie and all the blasphemous lies of the enemy, especially those taught in the classrooms of America to young children who have no choice but to sit and listen to the absurd lies, to the ridiculous lies that they tell, Father, the lies that teach them that you don't exist and that your creation is just happenstance, an accident of nature. We pray against and bind those lies in the name and authority of Yeshua, our Messiah and King. Forgive us for our part in tolerating and distributing those lies through our participation in the system that uses our tax dollars to fund those lies. Please forgive us for not speaking out, but instead condoning the lies through our silence and inaction against these and many other lies and sins that are perpetrated in our names through our governments that we tolerate and or support through our silence and with our tax dollars. Please, Abba, free your people from the bondage that we are currently under, which most of us don't even realize. Open our eyes to the truth, your truth. Gather us and shepherd us out of bondage into freedom that is your kingdom. Please prepare our hearts for that day. Teach us to love one another and fill us with your love, that we would be a light able to shine your love to the world and especially to each other. Teach us to be humble and give us a humble heart of flesh to replace our hearts of stone. Help us to be tender towards our brothers and sisters. Show us the right way to walk. Abba, there is so much division in your body of believers, so many things that divide us right now. There are issues for which you, in your word, instruct us to divide over and break fellowship because of, Abba, especially those that don't guard your covenant so that we are not led astray with them. We realize some separations are mandated in your word, but please, Abba, guide us in these separations that we would not be dividing over things that should not divide us, things that you don't say should divide us in your word, Father. Abba, we pray that mercy and justice would triumph in balance according to your word. Abba, we desire fellowship with you and each other. There are many of us that are unsure of where we should be during the upcoming feasts, Abba. We are so scattered throughout the earth, many of us without local fellowship. Please guide your people. Tell each of us where you would have us to be, that we could rejoice before you as we are commanded. Give each of us a heart for praise and worship, and a heart of forgiveness and mercy towards others. We need our shepherd to lead us in the way that we should go. We have all gone astray and are trying to find our way back into your sheepfold. Baruch Abba B'Shem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh, in your great name and authority. In Matthew 23:39, Yeshua said, "Ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh." And again in Luke 13:34, Yeshua said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kills the prophets and stones them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen does gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not." Luke 13:35, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh." Let us all join together today, and during these upcoming feasts, all of us at one accord saying, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. Baruch Haba B'Shem Yahweh." Please, Abba, don't leave our houses desolate. Don't leave your house in Jerusalem desolate. Gather us under your wings as the hen gathers her chicks. Baruch Haba B'Shem Yahweh. Blessed is he that comes in your name, O Yahweh. We look forward to the day when Yeshua, our King, Master, and Bridegroom, returns in your name and authority to gather and shepherd us, your people, and then rules and reigns over the entire earth in justice and righteousness from Jerusalem, with right ruling, with justice. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Goodbye for now, and Yah willing, I look forward to praying in agreement with Yahweh's word with all of you again next week. Again, if this is your first time tuning in, please download and listen to our preceding programs at www.hiswordheals.com. com. Until next week, blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes. Chag Sameach. May the upcoming feasts be a blessing to you and your families.
O Yahweh, how great are your works!